You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, congratulations to Tommy Lamb, our executive vice president of promotions. John, have you ever had a hole in one?
Yeah, you know what happens when you hit a hole in one?
No, what?
You got to buy drinks for everybody.
Nice.
So Tommy's buying drinks next time we see him.
Good for Tommy. Happy for him. All right, so the Houston Texans are reportedly working very hard to sign Deshaun Watson to a long-term deal. Watson taken by Houston just two picks away from Patrick Mahomes back in the 2017 draft. If Mahomes has signed for 10 years, $503 million with $141 million guaranteed, that's an average of $45 million per year, what does Deshaun Watson get?
Well, it seems like that in the NFL, the quarterback, the next quarterback up, automatically gets more than the last guy. But Mahomes was so extraordinary that I don't know. I don't think Watson eclipses Mahomes, do you?
No, I do not. In fact, here's the second highest paid quarterback for a better benchmark. Russell Wilson, second highest paid quarterback in the year in the league, 4-year extension. That guarantees him $70 million and an average salary of $35 million. I think the salary is probably going to be between $45 million, between $37.5 million and $40 million. And I think the guarantee is going to be somewhere in the $120 million range.
I wonder, too, if Houston just franchises him and they do the Kirk Cousins thing. Rather than sign him to a really long deal, just keep him for a couple of years and let him go. But God. Houston seems to make dumb decisions all the time. I would think that securing Deshaun Watson would be really good for their fans and for their franchise, but we'll see how it goes.
He is the one thing they've got going for him right now. I would sign him to at least a 4-year extension at this point.
All right, Mace, former NFL quarterback Boomer Esiason had an interesting suggestion on his radio show this week regarding how the NFL could play in a bubble. Here's what he was kicking around. First, scrap the month of September. Announce today that you're starting in October. Two, scrap the current schedule and set up 8 regional 4-team bubbles.
Okay.
For example, the Rams, Chargers, Cardinals, and Raiders would be in one bubble. The Giants, Jets, Bills, and Patriots would be in another. So you would only play teams in your bubble. You'd minimize travel. And then you could play all the games, if you wanted to, theoretically, at the same site. You would then, after that, move to the next closest geographic bubble. In some cases, you could play almost all your games in the same time zone. Is this idea worth considering?
Yeah, I mean, especially looking what's happening at Major League Baseball, if Major League Baseball is going through a meltdown, you know, the NFL has got time on its side. They've got plenty of time. They've got this is August 1, so they've got basically 2 months to figure out bubbles if they want to go that way. I think if they don't go with a bubble plan, it's going to be very difficult to play a full season. So I think a bubble plan is well worth consideration.
Well, and think about it. So let's use the Rams for an example. The first 3 games the Rams would play would be Vegas. They could drive. The Chargers, they wouldn't have to travel at all. And the Cardinals, they could drive. Let's say they move to the next closest geographic bubble. That could include the Niners, the Seahawks, maybe 2 of the Texas teams, Cowboys. And so there'd be, after 8 weeks, there'd be hardly any travel at all. It might work. I think they should look at it.
Last night at both NBA games, all players, coaches, referees knelt during the national anthem. This didn't sit well with everybody. The president tweeted, "Looking forward to live sports, but anytime I witness a player kneeling during the national anthem, a sign of great disrespect for our country and our flag, the game is over for me." I have an uncle who I was texting with last night who texted to me, this kneeling during the anthem thing is a little much. Two questions. Will the players attempt to raise awareness for social justice issues rub some fans the wrong way, and could it result in an NBA ratings decline?
I don't think it's going to result in an NBA ratings decline, and the answer to your first question is I don't think they care. I think they've decided that this particular issue is good if it rubs some people the wrong way. That's the point of their protest.
Yep.
And so I don't think in the eyes of the NBA, and by the way, they're completely supported by Adam Silver. They're completely supported by the ownership group. There is just no incentive to stop doing it, I don't think. Do you think?
I do not think at all. In fact, I think J.J. Redick said today, we don't. If you don't get it, you don't have to watch. And I think that's generally the attitude of players. And again, I will say, I've said many times now, the whole point of this is to make people feel uncomfortable. That's the whole point of it. That's what spurs the discussion. And I think the NBA players have been impeccable in raising awareness for this social justice movement. And will it make people feel uncomfortable? Some people? Yes. Does the NBA need them? No.
All right, Mace. Joe Rogan, the podcaster.
Yeah, Joe.
Is moving from California to Texas.
I saw that.
I'm out of here, Rogan said. I'm going to go to Texas. I just want to go somewhere in the center of the country, somewhere it's easier to travel to places and somewhere we have a bit more freedom. Also, I think where we live in Los Angeles is overcrowded, and I think most of the time that's not a problem. But it's exposing the fact that it's a real issue when you look at the number of people that are catching COVID because of this overpopulation issue, end quote. Does Rogan have a point here, or does he just come off as a whiner?
Well, no, I'm a big fan of Joe. He's talked about this in length, this move, on his podcast. And, you know, the one thing that he's said is, you know, he does stand-up all over the country. And it's easier to handle that travel when you're smack in the middle of the country. Like, I have a friend named Kevin Kugler. Do you know Kevin Kugler?
Yep.
Kevin lives in Omaha, Nebraska, right in the middle of the country. So he flies east for games. He flies west for games. I think that's one of the reasons Joe wants to do this. You go east to do stand-up. You do west to do stand-up. I also think, and he hasn't said this, but I also think the tax situation in Texas is probably part of this.
Right. And I've lived in Texas and enjoyed it. It was fun, but I can't ever see myself leaving California.
If I had to live in Texas, I would live in Austin, which is a pretty good town.
Austin or Dallas is where you want to go.
Yep.
One of those two.
At yesterday's opening of the St. Jude's Invitational, Bryson DeChambeau had an interesting moment. DeChambeau hit his tee shot into the trees down the left side of the par 4 4,881-yard seventh hole. His tee shot came to rest on a few small sticks near the base of a tree. Now, DeChambeau was convinced his ball was sitting near a hill of fire ants or maybe a burrowing animal. He called PGA Tour official Ken Tackett to the scene, then spent nearly 3 minutes trying to convince him that he was allowed a free drop under the rules. USGA Rule 16.2.A, one you love, John, the dangerous animal condition rule, would permit DeChambeau to take relief. The rule says a dangerous animal condition exists when a dangerous animal, such as a poisonous snake, stinging bees, alligators, fire ants, or bears near a ball could cause serious physical injury. The official said, I don't see any fire ants. In a sense, that it would be, you know, a dangerous situation. I don't see anything that would identify that this is an animal hole. DeChambeau argued his case, lost, no free drop. He stomped off, made a quintuple bogey 10 on the hole, and missed the cut. John, do you believe that there were fire ants or burrowing animals where DeChambeau hit his ball, or was DeChambeau just looking for an edge?
I watched this whole thing.
Did you?
I watched it live, then I went back and watched it on a replay. There were no ants. There were no fire ants. There were no ants. His ball was in a bad spot. He was trying to negotiate a better spot, and he lost. Mace, what? Google this. There are no ants. I mean, we have HDTV now. They pointed a camera right at his ball. I have no idea. He goes, there was one of them. He must have run up a tree. Come on, man.
So does he come across like a whiner trying to skirt the rules?
Yes. There was no, he hit his ball into the trees and he was trying to cut a deal because I think he figures he's the biggest attraction right now on tour because he hits the ball 400 yards and swings as hard as humanly possible. So people want him to make the cut.
Yep.
So he was hoping that the rules official would just go, oh, well, we don't want DeChambeau to get mad and leave the tournament. Maybe I should give him a drop. No, the rules official did absolutely the right thing. Okay, Mace, I have a list of movies that are leaving Netflix after tonight. Like
after
midnight,
tonight.
They end, tomorrow's August 1st.
Okay.
All right, so you tell me, should I track these down and watch them after they go, or should I pass? Okay?
You mean before they go?
Well, no, I don't think I could watch 10 movies today, so tell me. I mean, got it. But you just tell me if I should cry over the fact that these movies are leaving.
Yes.
All right? Some of these I've seen, some I haven't. Back to the Future, all three of them. Haven't watched any of them in 30 years. Worth watching now or no?
I am going to say, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Ghostbusters. I don't think they hold up.
Okay, so no big loss.
No.
If you don't think those hold up, I can't imagine you think this does. What about E.T.?
You know, E.T. is different. It goes for the heart. And yeah, E.T., the E.T. itself, or himself, doesn't necessarily hold up as a special effect. But there are a bunch of other... Most of the rest of the movie has no special effects. It's a relationship between kids and their little E.T. friend. I think that one does hold up.
All right, here's a movie I have not seen. Twister.
Nah, don't bother.
Hancock. Haven't seen that either.
You can skip that.
Romeo Must Die. Have never seen it.
And you don't need to.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Hitch.
I mean, Hitch is fine. Like
fine. Hitch is one of the most rewatchable movies of all time.
I will stop
Hitch
on Hitch
great.
When I come across it on cable.
It's great.
But it's not one of the greatest movies of all time.
No, it's totally rewatchable. Lindsay, do you like the movie Hitch?
I think it's a great movie. I think you're crazy, Maze. I think it's awesome.
I think it's fine. I didn't say it was bad. I just said I think it's fine.
I think it's more than fine. I think it's generational classic.
Yeah, everybody in Hitch nails it. Hitch is a perfect romantic comedy. It's incredibly well done. All right, last one, Maze.
Yep.
The original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder.
I mean, what can you say about Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka?
Ticket.
I mean, yeah, that movie will hold up forever. That's like Wizard of Oz level classic.
All right, so if you're listening,
favorite movie of all time.
What's that, Lindsay?
I said Willy Wonka is my favorite. The original is my favorite movie of all time.
Okay, yeah, so Lindsay, I'm gonna put you in the spot. Give me the names of all the kids, all six kids that got the golden tickets.
We've got Charlie. You've got
Charlie
Violet.
Bucket. Violet who?
What's her name? Violet, like Pendergrass
no.
or something?
Isn't it Violet Purple?
No, it's Violet Beauregard. Sam Beauregard used cars.
I don't remember all their last names.
So you got two. Who are the other four?
There's five.
Augustus Gloop, very good pull.
Veruca Salt. I know that was a band, too.
Yep. Veruca Salt. And you only need one more.
And Mike TV.
Mike TV, because he sat around and watched TV all day. Very good, Lindsay.
Good job. Impressive. Yeah, no, that's the classic of the bunch that you just named. And Hitch is fine.
It's better than fine.
Yeah, it's on the fine scale. You know, it's like a six.
Hitch is excellent. Hitch is like an eight.
All right, coming up next, we'll let you know that Milwaukee's got a 28-23 lead over Boston with about 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
And
earlier,
Portland did win.
Yeah, Portland did beat
Memphis
in overtime, yeah. All right, coming up next for you, we will go inside the bubble. Mark Spears is there for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On the bubble today, Portland beat Memphis in overtime. Blazers now only 2.5 out of the 8 in the Western Conference. And, of course, the 8 will play the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. The Lakers beat the Clippers last night in a thriller. And joining us now from inside the bubble is Mark Spears. Mark, how are you, man?
I'm out here at the Bucks-Celtics game. The first quarter just finished. It's still weird, but I'm very happy to be here.
Mark, I know what you mean. It's nothing is normal about this season, but I thought that last night, I'm sure from inside the bubble you had a different perspective, but I thought last night the NBA did an excellent job of pulling that off. Those games to me felt like that they were regular NBA games with regular NBA intensity. They were a little chippy, especially the Laker-Clipper game, and I thought the on-screen product looked as good as it could look under the conditions. Did you, from the inside the bubble, did you agree? Or to you, is it just still too weird?
You know what? I think my vantage point is so much different than you guys.
Right.
You know, so I wonder, you know, what it's like on the outside watching it from a home perspective and everything, where I feel like I'm watching a basketball game in a library. Like being here, man, it's just like weird, you know, with occasionally some music is played and stuff like that. But it's important, and I think the Lakers have done a great job of this, of having a band of guys that are energetic and cheering and yelling. Because if you don't and you go through some doldrums, man, I think it's hard to get your energy back up. And the Lakers have been, in my opinion, since I've been watching all these games, have had the most energy, and I think that's going to be important here, because, like, you see those fans, the you know, the virtual fans, you
right.
Can't hear them. They look like somebody like some peeping toms. You know what I mean? like just some people that are weirdly looking at you. And I saw some people yawning and sleep, and like, it's kind of funny. I'm like, she ain't paying attention to the game. Why did she? She could have gave that to somebody else. You know what I mean? So in a lot of ways, it's strange here. But, you know, I give the NBA an enormous amount of credit for pulling this off. And I'm telling you guys, man, and I'm sure, John, you've heard this a few times. Look, they're not playing any games with anybody, man. We wake up, we get a COVID test, we got to get our oxygen, we got to get our temperature. We wear these bracelets, so everywhere you go, you have to use your bracelet to get in. And if you haven't done what you needed to do, I don't care if you're LeBron James or Anthony Davis, you can't go any further. And so kudos to them for making a really, really safe environment. You know, there's a little bit desired in the media living arrangements. I mean,
right.
Commons.
Right.
But that's a whole other story, but other than that, from a basketball and a safety perspective, I think we're in the best place in the country right now.
Mark Spears is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Lakers beat the Clippers last night, 103-101. LeBron didn't have a good shooting night, but took over at the end of the game and especially brought that great defense on both Kawhi and Paul George. Talk about LeBron's performance last night.
Well, because I was busy with the first game, I didn't catch it till late. And that putback that he had, I know the Clippers, when they were watching film today, were killing themselves. Like, he had four guys underneath the basket and nobody boxed out. I could hear all those guys, old junior high, high school coaches screaming, box out! Like,
right.
That's not something that you don't do in the NBA. And they certainly made it a lot easier for LeBron to get that putback. But then on the other end, he shut the game down. He shut the game down. So I was a little worried if they, to me, like, in the grand scheme of things, the game doesn't matter because the Lakers are they're going to be number one. It does matter a little bit for the Clippers because they want to hold on to the second spot. But like if I'm the Lakers, like these are really just tune-up games for what's coming. Whereas Portland is playing for their lives, New Orleans playing for their lives. So it is interesting to see the difference in importance of all these games right now. And for the Lakers, man, look, you guys have been around for a while. To me, the most important thing is just get their rhythm and stay healthy. I don't care if they lose the next seven. They got to stay healthy and just keep their rhythm going. But my biggest worry for them is somebody, one of those their top three guys getting hurt. Because if they do get hurt, that could be a major damage to their championship hope.
Right. Mark Spears joining us from inside the bubble. Mark, I've been telling anybody who will listen that Memphis is getting that 8 seed. I just think that they've been really good all year, really competitive. Then I just watched Portland beat them in overtime, and I'm not so sure I'm right anymore. Portland, man, CJ and Dame look like they are on a mission, and Memphis almost held them off. They got it to overtime, but then Portland took it over. What's your thoughts on who's getting the 8 seed in the West?
Well, I got to spend some time with CJ and Dame off the court. It's hard for us to get some time off the court with guys there because of the limitations for the media, but they actually came by and said hello one day, and I talked to Dame and CJ about it. Dame's like, man, we got to at least win 5 games. And he's like, the first game against Memphis is important. Because the Memphis is the 8 spot, and we might have to play them 2 times to get in. So you want to get in their head and let them know what we are. Now, Portland's schedule is extremely difficult the whole way. It's definitely not easy, but this was a great first one for them, and it was overtime. It was a great confidence booster for their team. And also, if you think about it, it's the first game for Nurkic in a long time, like real game. So now they're big. Melo's at small forward in great shape. Dame and CJ aren't by themselves. I do think that Portland is certainly a scary team, but they got some other big wins they have to get in order to, you know, try to knock Memphis off. And here's the one thing, John. Memphis ain't playing that great, man. I've been watching them in the exhibition games, and I was wondering, and you guys probably had the standings near, like, If they drop, like if they don't do well, can somebody like pass them up in the standings?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean? There's only 2.5 games now between them and Portland. I mean, you'd think they'd at least hang on. They'll at least be in a playoff game. They can't
drop really
that far.
They're that good? I don't think they're. I think they're okay. But now that you're taking this young team to a level that they've never been, this is playoff basketball now. You guys see it. This is new to them, so I'm curious to how they adapt to playing on this level with what's at stake. There's pressure on them when there's never been pressure before, and Mike Conley's gone. Marc Gasol's gone. Marc Gasol's gone. So this is different, and let's see how they handle it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Memphis ends up losing that spot.
Mark Spears is with us from ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I'm sure you've been in one of these arenas when the players have knelt for the national anthem, players, coaches, referees. How do you think sort of carrying that legacy, that push, creating that momentum for the social justice movement that took place after the murder of George Floyd, how do you think the players are sort of holding that up?
Man, I'm proud of them guys, man. I went to the very, very first game, Pelicans, Utah, and got a little teary-eyed. I remember being at that Clippers game when they just took off their practice shirts and threw it on the floor and played. All transparency, I cried during that game, man. I was so downtrodden and hurt that those guys actually played in that game. I felt like they had the ability to make a huge, huge statement by not playing. It was on a Sunday. They were the only game going. And so I know there's several narratives on that, but I was disappointed. Now you see today, I'm sure there's probably some people like, well, why didn't they kneel when Kaepernick kneeled? I understand that too. But we're here where we are now. George Floyd, man, like, the impact that his horrific death gave on this whole world is something that I'll never forget. The same way I don't forget Rodney King and what happened to him. And it's sad that we're still talking about these things, but I'm proud of the players in terms of their ability to keep it going. And I really believe they're going to keep the voice going the whole way. And, you know, there might be some people here and there where there's some differences. Jonathan Isaacs from the Magic, he didn't kneel, and he didn't wear a Black Lives Matter jersey, and he didn't have a social justice message. And afterwards, he said it was for religious reasons. He said he had nothing against Black Lives Matter, and he respected, he said Black Lives do matter, and he's Black. But, you know, but I'll say this. I respect his decision not to do it. The same way people should have respected Kaepernick.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mark, that was great. That was really powerful. Hey, before we let you go, who do you see coming out of the West? Lakers, Clippers, or somebody else?
Why would you ask me that question in L.A., man?
You knew that was coming, right? Well, I mean, you saw the ESPN, I don't know if you were part of it, but you saw the ESPN experts, the 16 experts, leaned pretty heavily Clippers. 8 of the 16 picked the Clippers to win the title.
Yeah, you didn't see my name on there? You didn't see what I picked? I picked Los Angeles.
Yeah, which one?
Red, white, and blue, baby.
You think they're too deep?
I just always liked them. The key to me is Anthony Davis. He's the X factor. He's the guy. I mean, I think Giannis, I'm tripping. Kawhi and LeBron kind of cancel each other out. The thing that worries me about the Lakers is the guard defense. How do you stop a Paul George? How do you stop a Damian Lillard potentially in the first round and a C.J. McCollum? I'm really nervous about that for them. Remember when Dame had 48, but I just really like the Clippers as a team, top to bottom. And I just think that my worry for the Lakers, and I'm gonna keep saying it, is health, health, health. They have to get through the first round quick. They got to get through the second round quick because they got three guys that they lean on so heavily. So I could see it going either way. But if you're asking me to pick somebody, I do like the Clippers a little better.
All right. Mark, we hope you're wrong.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Why did the Clippers stay in that town?
You know, it's a great question. I thought when Steve Ballmer bought them, Mark, that the move was to go to Seattle. They would have been hailed as conquering heroes. And now Seattle has a brand-new state-of-the-art arena.
Now the Clippers are doing the opposite. They're building a brand-new state-of-the-art arena near their new Rams stadium.
That money, that television money they're getting must be extraordinary. Because it really makes no sense for me to stay there when even when the Lakers were bad last season, nobody cared about the Clippers. You know what I mean? It's like they're not going to win.
Well,
they're not going to win that city over, regardless of what happens. So I don't know why they're so focused on staying there, other than TV money. But that only person that got more money than Ballmer is like God and like 10 other people. So.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Ballmer's got 20 billion reasons to put the team wherever he wants.
And Mark, it's like Patrick.
That TV money he's getting in LA ain't gonna make or break him. So it's like I just don't get it. I don't see why they're so focused on staying in a place that doesn't want them.
Yeah, it's like Patrick Beverly said, Mark. If we win it, we might be the first team in history that gets booed at our own parade.
Yeah, ain't going to be no parade right now, Hall.
Yeah, there you go.
Only parade they might get is at an empty Disney World.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, Mark, thanks for doing this, man. Stay safe.
All right, y'all. Take care.
There's Mark Spears from ESPN, who is down in the bubble and actually is at that Milwaukee-Boston game, which is going on right now. Bucks lead at 45-35. Bucks lead at 45-35. All right, you know what we haven't done, John? You know what we haven't done? We even let Laker fans talk.
All right, let's hear from them. Yeah, that's a good idea.
877-710-ESPN. What did you think of what you saw last night? Are you concerned that the Lakers, the game was that close when Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams were not there? Were you blown away by what you saw from LeBron? What did you think of Dion Waiters? 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some phone calls in here next. Then we got Radio Tinder. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. I'll let you know a couple of things here. First of all, I'm sure you know by now, the Lakers beat the Clippers last night, 103-101. Tomorrow, Lakers-Raptors, 4 p.m. pregame, 5:30 tip. Dodgers in Arizona for the weekend. They took game one of the series last night, 6-3. Homers for A.J. Pollock and Corey Seager and Max Muncy. It'll be Tony Gonsolin versus righty Zach Gallen tonight. And LAFC versus Orlando is going on right now. This is we're streaming that game on the ESPN app. LAFC playing for a berth in the semifinals of the MLS's back tournament. They're playing Orlando.
And the Lakers last night won 103-101. The game was pretty seesaw. The Lakers led by as many as 13 early, then they fell behind by 11 in the third quarter. Then they came all the way back. Anthony Davis had 34. LeBron came up with the key plays down the stretch. Kyle Kuzma made 4 of 7 three-pointers, and LeBron came up with 2 key defensive stops at the end. We want to let you guys react to what you saw. And here's Anthony in L.A. Anthony, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, man? Huge fan. I just wanted to talk about how Kyle Kuzma stepped up yesterday. You know, they were expecting a lot from him, and, you know, I think he delivered. He looked confident. He was sharp, and, I mean, he was just doing his thing.
Thanks, Anthony. Mace, your big thing with Kuzma is you just say he can't shoot 30% from three, and last night he shot better than 50%.
Yeah, no, 4 of 7 from three last night, 16 points off the bench. He was a plus 12 overall. That if we get Kuzma on a regular basis doing that, I don't think anybody beats the Lakers.
Here is Enrique from Pasadena. Hey, Enrique, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing? I just
wanted to
talk about the Lakers at the task at hand. I mean, they did the win, and they are 6.5 games up with 7 left, so they pretty much locked up the seed.
Yep.
I don't think they suffered it all. I think they did what they needed to do, and now they can focus on matchups and who they need to play.
And Mace, they may not know who they play because of this play-in tournament in the 8th spot.
Yeah, because right now there's only 2.5 games separating Portland and Memphis, and if they are within 4 games at the end of the 8 seeding games, that means there will be a play-in, and it could get more complicated if Sacramento or San Antonio get on a little run here. They could also be part of a play-in tournament. But at the moment, Memphis has got hold of it, but that loss today really hurts them.
Let's go to Derek in San Bernardino. Hey, Derek, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, John? How's it going, Mace?
It's good, awesome, Derek. Man.
Yeah, well, you know, guys, they made a little bit of a big deal has been made that Lou Williams and Harold weren't there last night.
Yep.
And I'll say this. I'm not worried about those guys. You only can play 5 on the floor at a time. But what gets discounted for us, for the Lakers, is that we have some great support guys as well. Like, I thought that, of course, Kyle Kuzma played well, but also thought that Dion Waiters was a revelation, especially, you know, as a wing, that he played and shot the ball well. We didn't get anything out of J.R. Smith yet. But we have some support guys that I think our support guys fit a little better with the playmaking skills of LeBron and the low post presence of AD rather than what Paul George and Kawhi can get theirs, you know, as one-on-one players. But they don't have the same skill set as, say, a LeBron and the AD and how the support players can feed off of them.
All right, hello? Thanks, man, for the phone call. I don't disagree with any of that. But I think that one thing, Mace, that's going to determine how far the Lakers go is what type of bench scoring they get besides the obvious. I mean, I even think if Kuzma averages, you know, what do you have last night, 16? If Kuzma gets you 16 a night, that's almost expected. What are you getting out of Deion Waiters?
Correct.
What are you getting out of KCP? What are you getting out of Alex Caruso? I think all those guys can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, Kuzma last night, as you said, 16 points. Deion Waiters, 17 points on 5 of 10 from the field. Alex Caruso didn't have his best game, but made a huge defensive play late in that game, saving a ball that was going out of bounds. I thought collectively a really good bench performance. What's going to be fascinating, and let's be honest, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell are two of the best six men in the game. I would assume Harrell is going to win six man of the year this year.
And Lou won it last year.
So those guys are impact players. I still think the biggest difference between these two teams is that the Clippers do not have, and that includes Montrezl Harrell, the Clippers do not have an answer to Anthony Davis. None.
And I don't think anybody else does either. All right, coming up next, Radio Tinder.
Lindsay's back, and she's going to do the Radio Tinder today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Swipe left, swipe right. Time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay is here. Lindsay, what do you got today?
Well, guys, a Florida teenager has been charged as the, quote, mastermind of a recent high-profile Twitter hack. Authorities arrested a 17-year-old who they said ran the scheme that targeted the accounts of celebrities, including former President Barack Obama and Elon Musk. The teenager reportedly netted Bitcoin worth more than $180,000.
Wow.
Are you guys worried about the youth of America turning into a giant gang of cyber criminals? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I don't think any of our... I mean, I don't want to be paranoid here, but I don't think any of our information is safe. We hear about these hacks of credit card companies and banks all the time. And here it's a kid. I mean, all these kids, and John, Jack, your son, is big on coding, which I think has something to do with computer technology, right?
Yep, writing code for computer programs.
And every kid in the world is coding right now, and we are creating a generation of kids who can do all kinds of stuff that are way beyond what we grown-ups are able to do. I'm concerned about all of my information.
Yeah, I would swipe right also. I think that cybercrime is going to be the next big wave.
And cyber terrorism, that's the other thing.
Yeah, I think that it's probably already going on, and we just haven't caught up to it yet.
All right, I totally agree with you guys. The NHL is ready for the long-standing tradition of the Stanley Cup playoffs, booing Commissioner Gary Bettman. On a recent episode of the ESPN Daily podcast, NHL reporter Greg Wyshynski noted that the NHL accepted recordings of boos from fans and that Bettman understands that this might be used when he presents the cup this season. How do you guys feel about virtual booing in sports? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe left. I don't even boo in person, so why would I boo virtual? Mason, what do you think?
Well, I like a good boo. I swipe right. I think booing is a good thing. In fact, I think the Dodgers should figure out a way to put virtual fans in Dodger Stadium for when the Astros come to town so we can relentlessly boo them throughout the game. I am pro-boo, and I think that we should be able to let fans do it.
I mean, they've got to do something for the Dodgers-Astros series.
They have to.
All right, next one. A Texas man said his Uber Eats delivery driver liked his food so much that the driver ate some of it himself. A 15-piece boneless chicken wing order turned out to be just too tempting for that delivery guy, and the whole thing was caught on video camera. And when confronted by the customer, the driver's explanation was simply that he was hungry. If you caught a delivery guy eating your food, would you guys confront him? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, good question. I think I would at least ask him if he ate it and see if he'd be honest. I think I would confront him. Swipe right.
So what would you do then if he was like, if that's what was his answer? Oh, sorry, I did. I was just hungry. What would you say?
Yeah, what do you do?
If he says, I was hungry and I ate it, I would say, go ahead and keep it.
Yeah, what is the proper protocol here?
The guy did get a refund. So
guy shows up at my door. Some of my food is eaten. And I find that to be absolutely creepy. I would call the restaurant right away and say, look, I think your delivery guy ate some of my food. Absolutely. Eating somebody's food?
Nobody likes a rat.
I'm sorry. No, nobody likes food that somebody else has been munching on.
I would say to the delivery guy, Lindsay, hey, I understand you're hungry. It can be a long day. Go ahead and keep it. Just don't charge me for it.
And I would call the restaurant and say, the delivery guy just ate my dinner. Send me another one. And by the way, his name is Tom.
Just put Tom in the street.
Snitches get stitches, mate. Remember that.
Yeah, no. Snitches get dinner. Yeah, snitches get dinner nobody's ever touched.
Snitches get a worm in their food when the new food comes back. That's a terrible idea.
I noticed a lot of places are doing like those tamper-proof stickers or packaging. So I think if everybody gets on board with that, we could probably avoid the whole, you know, delivery driver eating your food thing. All right, last one here, also involving food somewhat. Alcohol sales in Ohio will be banned after 10 p.m. Friday, and this is moving forward, under an executive order issued by Governor Mike DeWine to help slow the spread of coronavirus by limiting close gatherings. The order also prohibits the consumption of any drinks after 11 p.m. So basically, if you're at a bar or restaurant, you can't order any alcohol past 10 p.m., and you have to finish it within an hour. In a nod to the hit businesses are expected to take, it also boosts the number of alcoholic drinks that can be bought per takeout meal by 3. Do you guys think this is a good idea to help limit the spread of coronavirus but keep bars in business? Swipe left or swipe right?
Why are the bars open? That's what I mean. Why are the bars open before 11 o'clock? That's
you're
what
talking
I don't
about
understand.
Carry away drinks where you go and say, "I'll give me 3 Mai Tais. I'll take them home with me." Is that what we're talking about?
No, in Ohio, they still have bars open.
Oh wow!
And restaurants as well. So
yeah, I think limiting the amount of time that bars are open, I think, is very smart. You're limiting the opportunities for exposure. They're not selling alcohol after Friday at 11 or something?
Well, yeah, so you're not, I mean, I guess, like, you're not allowed to go to a liquor store. You're not allowed to order it at a restaurant. You're not allowed to order it at a bar. I think they're trying to limit not only the in-person gatherings as far as, like, the bars and restaurants go, but also parties. You know, because people could just be like, oh, hey, I'm going to go pick up some beer, or we ran out of beer. And maybe they're thinking, well, you run out of beer, you run out of party. So that's time for everybody to go home.
See, I think there's something to be said for staying home and getting drunk. Staying home and getting drunk keeps people off the streets. So I don't think they should cut off alcohol sales.
Although, there was an interesting Twitter thread, Mace. I don't know if you saw it, but a former government health official laid out a plan on how we could end COVID. It got retweeted all over the place, but he said we could end it in 2 months. And one of the things we'd have to do is to shut everything down again for the most part. But after reading his plan, you could see that I think it would work. You think people would be willing to do that? Can we go backwards and shut down again?
It's so tough. You know, Jeannie may be out of the bottle at this point. The idea was we had a month shut down. If we could have held on for another month shut down, we probably wouldn't be the corona capital of the universe.
Right. But can you walk that back? Okay, so this guy's name was, he was the head of healthcare under President Obama. His name is Andy Slavitt. And he started a Twitter, he does a podcast now. He started a Twitter thread laying out how we could end COVID now. And after reading it, you thought, but the heart of his plan is you go back and basically shut everything down again.
Yeah, I don't think this federal government is willing to do that. If you know what I mean.
I don't think people are even willing to comply.
Yeah, and I don't think, Lindsay, you say I think we're allowed to say you're in Ohio right now. You say only half the people are wearing masks, right?
That was the case earlier, earlier in the month, I guess late last month, but now they made it a mandate in almost every county that has, you know, over 1,000 people in it. So it's mandated in all the public places, but I still see people that aren't following it the way they should.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
like California.
If only, I think we'd be okay if people would just wear their effing mask. Just wear your mask. It's not that hard. It's not that bad.
Did you see, Mace, that our buddy Brian Cranston came out and,
yeah,
and talked about how he had COVID, and his quote was, "Wear your damn mask."
Yeah, yeah. I was texting with him today. He says the case isn't too bad. Not too bad. All right, there you have your radio Tinder for today. Thank you very much, Linz. Coming up next for you, we'll circle back to the big stories of the day. Lakers win last night. They beat the Clippers. Also, baseball may be on the verge of a shutdown. We'll explain that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.